So, will it be skiing? Or Christmas markets on a city break? Skiing or a city break? Some problems are good problems to have. Especially with flights this winter from £29.99 one way and package holidays from £159 per person. Get booking at easyjet.com. Selected dates, holidays, adult protected based on 2 adults for 3 nights. Travel restrictions and T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Good grief. 3 minutes after 12 is the time. I'm just going to solve one little... Actually, no, I'll do the talk up first. Well, I've already done it, haven't I? I did it before. God, so amateurish, this show. I'm amazed anyone listens to it. Of course, you may have just tuned in for Mystery Hour, or you may be listening on the podcast. Did you know that you can download the Mystery Hour as a standalone, self-contained podcast with no interruptions and no breaks? So it's a beautiful piece of work as a self-contained podcast. You can get it at Global Player, which you can download at globalplayer.com. The trick is this: ring in with a question, someone else rings in with an answer. It's a lot more exciting and amusing and illuminating than that makes it sound, but you'll have to stay tuned to find out. Fantastically, there is now a prize for my favourite contribution of the day, and that prize is a Mystery Hour board game. I still can't quite believe it when I say those words out loud, but there really is one. And it really is brilliant. I get so many messages over the Christmas period from people who've played it with the family. It's a perfect, perfect game for the family. It's like a sort of cross between... Well, what's it a cross between? It's a cross between Call My Bluff and Would I Lie to You? And those kind of shows where you're trying to persuade your family members to believe something that isn't true. And you can make up your own lies or wrong answers or incorrect answers. Or you can make up... It's a bit like The Last Hour, Keith says. Or you can use the one that has been provided on the programme, the incorrect answer. Anyway. And, of course, you use your skills to guess what the right answer is. It is great, great fun. And you can win one by being my favourite contributor of the day. And you can also buy it if you're unlucky enough or you don't ring in, or you can also buy it at mysteryhour.co.uk or in a variety of prestigious retailers, but mysteryhour.co.uk is probably the easiest way. And you can find all the terms and conditions, because it's a proper grown-up competition, this, you know. All the terms and conditions are lbc.co.uk. Should we just kick off? Let's get stuck straight in. 6 minutes after 12. Carol is in Erith. Carol, question or answer?
I've got a question for you, please, James.
Carry on, Carol. Should have been a film, that, shouldn't it?
My name's actually Carol Ann, which is the little girl in Poltergeist, but that's a different story altogether.
Well, this has gone off in an unexpected direction, hasn't it? Carry on,
it
Carol Ann.
It?
That would have been a pastiche of the horror film. Carry on. Carol Ann.
My question.
Yes.
Colours in surnames.
Yes.
Why are some colours, like there's lots of Mr. Blacks and lots of Mrs. Browns.
Yes.
I can think of Jason Orange from Take That.
Yes.
But I've never met a Mr. Yellow or a Mr. Blue. And I'm just wondering why some colours are more common.
Yeah. I won't take a prize for this, a round of applause for this, but I think originally names might refer to what you did for a living, which is where,
yeah,
as you know, which is where Smith comes from, or butcher or something like that. So I
Absolutely.
Presume, can we think of any names that are colours that couldn't refer to hair? So black, white, brown, grey.
Green.
Oh, green. Yeah, you've got me with green, haven't you? You got me with green. Even orange, you see, I was ready to defend, particularly when we've all been talking about Prince Harry so much this week.
Absolutely.
Green. Well, green would be something else. What might green be? Coming from the green?
A green grocer, maybe.
Could be a green grocer. Right, you're on. Why aren't... I mean, why do we never meet a Mrs. Purple?
Exactly. Apart from in Cluedo. Plum,
you meet the old Professor Plum. Plum might have referred to, but no one has purple hair. All right, you're on. I'll find out for you. We shall find out, Carol Ann. Thank you very much indeed. 8 minutes after 12 is the time. Why are some colours used as names while other colours don't actually make it? 0345 60 60. No, blues. Yeah, the Blues Brothers aren't real. Jake and Elwood Blues. Someone just sent me Jake and Elwood. They're probably it. Anyway, we're getting a bit bogged down. Charles is in New Eltham. Charles, question or answer? No, Adrian's in Leighton. Adrian, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Do I have a Tide?
Pardon?
A few weeks ago, someone rang in and said, do lakes have a tide?
Oh,
you
yeah.
got it spectacularly wrong, remember?
No?
Yeah.
Not at all? No, it must have been a different show.
Yeah. Anyway, if you follow on from that, 70% of our body...
Lionel
is water.
Blue, Rabbi Lionel Blue. Do you remember him? He was a prominent rabbi Lionel Blue. So blue, there is a blue. So it's not hair. No, anyway, carry on. Back to you. So all bodies of water have a tide. You've got so much water in you. Do you have a tide?
But not only the water in my body. I mean, the gravitational pull of the moon must apply to all matter in varying degrees. So do I go in and out with the gravitational pull of the moon? Do I have a tide?
Does the gravitational pull of the moon affect you?
Not affect me. Do
well,
I have
what,
a tide?
Then? No, you can't just keep saying, do I have a tide? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it does.
No, it
means,
doesn't.
Is the matter in my body moving in and out with the gravitational pull of the moon?
Yeah, in and out of what?
Well, as the water moves in and out.
Well, that moves in and out of the ocean or the lake. It moves, so it expands and contracts according to where the coastline is.
So
what do you move in and out? That's why I say affect, because it does it affect you? Because you don't get fatter.
Yeah,
you don't get fatter or thinner, or maybe you do, but is that what you're asking?
Yes, yeah, if you like.
Do I get fatter and thinner according to the gravitational pull of the moon?
Yes.
Wow. I don't know.
That's what you're here for.
To try and find out. Thank you, Adrian. Charles is in New Eltham. Charles, question or answer?
Question. It's T-shirts.
Really?
Cotton T-shirt.
Yeah.
If I put a cotton T-shirt in a tumble dryer, it shrinks.
Have you got the right show? Have you got the right show, Charles?
Oh, I'm hoping so.
I'm doing laundry tips, mate. It's not laundry hour. I think Nick does that, doesn't he, on Wednesdays?
Well,
carry on.
See if you can work this one out.
Go on,
so
then.
If I put a cotton T-shirt in a tumble dryer, it shrinks. But if I put it on a red hot radiator to dry, it doesn't shrink.
Right.
Or if I put it out on a line, which is hot and windy...
Yeah.
It still doesn't shrink. Why does it shrink in the tumble dryer but not anywhere else?
It's hotter.
Well, so put it on the cool tumble. It will still shrink.
Will it?
Yeah.
Will it?
Yeah.
You shouldn't really be using your tumble dryer.
Well, I suppose not really.
I'm just thinking of your energy bills, Charles, and the environment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so much.
Does it always shrink?
They normally do. Normally I'll get them up just underneath the breast. They sort of start round about the waistline, and they end up just underneath the left and right breast.
Oh, okay. Let's find out. Why does the tumble dryer shrink his T-shirts when nothing else does? It doesn't appear to be linked to temperature. It is kind of linked to temperature, because in a tumble dryer, everything is the same temperature, isn't it? Whereas if it's on a line or on a radiator, no, it doesn't work.
In a hot, very hot day on a line with wind, it doesn't shrink. Or without wind on a radiator, it doesn't shrink. But every time you put it in a tumble dryer, it comes out.
There's something wrong with your tumble dryer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're on. I went to school with a lad called Pink, I've just remembered. So there are Pinks out there as well, Mr. Pink. Thank you, Charles. Andrew's in Hounslow. Andrew, question or answer?
A question, please, James.
Carry on.
Why do horses get shooed but other cattle doesn't?
Because cows... Well, what do you mean other cattle?
Like other animals with hooves. So cows, sheep,
okay.
Goats.
I think I can answer that, Andrew. I think you may kick yourself when I do. But sometimes when I find myself framing that thought, I end up embarrassing myself. As Adrian suggested, I did recently with tides and lakes, although I have no memory of that.
James.
Oh, I genuinely have no memory of that. Horses in the wild don't have shoes, do they?
No.
So the shoe is a consequence of being domesticated, for want of a better word, which means that they're not just going to spend their life in the meadows. They're going to have to go on harder surfaces, which means they're hooves are going to be affected in ways that they wouldn't be if they were in the wild, which means that we give them little metal shoes. If you had a cow to pull you to work in a carriage every day, you would probably have to buy it some cow shoes.
Maybe. But, I mean, people that have pet cows and stuff still don't hoove their... Still don't shoe their...
Yeah, but they're not. They're not. They might have a pet cow, and to be honest, that's a small constituency of cows, I think, Andrew. We can agree on that, I hope. But the pet cows are not... They're not, like, going to work, are they? They're not, like, trained cows pulling trolleys across the courtyard or taking the kids to school.
Even people that have horses in fields that just stay in fields still shoe them.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure they do, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Are you? Did you just chance your arm on that one? If you own a horse and it never leads its field, I don't think you need to shoe it.
Maybe.
It's a bit cruel because the horse likes to stretch it. I'm pretty sure that the shoeing is a consequence of the domestication and the putting the horse to work. But we will find out.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. I like the idea. I'm always looking for ways to make my fortune, and possibly cow shoes is an unexplored entrepreneurial avenue. Cow shoes. I think that might not be as daft as it sounds. I could be wrong. Just a vague tinkle of a bell in the back of my brain. A tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. I think there might be such a... We shall find out. 12:14 is the time, so we have some questions for you. Why are some colours also names? Or why are some names also colours? 03456060973. Given the amount of fluid in our bodies, does the gravitational pull of the moon affect humans in the same way that it, for example, affects tides? Why does Charles's shirt shrink in the dishwasher? Shrink in the tumble dryer, but not via any other methods of drying? And why do horses have shoes but cows don't? 03456060973. Given that they all have hooves.
LBC. Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 03456060973.
12:17 is the time. Pippa asks, do you ever have a question, maybe like that tide one, that nobody can answer because nobody has ever thought of it before? Most weeks, Pippa, actually. I don't know that that's a good thing, though. Helen's in Bonus in Scotland. Helen, question or answer?
Oh, hi, James. It's a question.
Carry on.
Right. I've got a little bit of doubt in me, though, because your producer didn't know what I was talking about.
Oh.
Okay. But anyway.
Welcome to my world.
I thought this was just American, but my husband says that we do this here as well. Why, when something hurts, do we say that it smarts?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a familiar figure of speech.
I thought it was maybe just American.
No, it just means it hurts. That smarts. Yeah. That hurts.
Sorry, my husband's talking in my ear, saying that I need to ask about the producer-researcher thing. And do your producers get annoyed when people refer to them as researchers?
Do they? I've no idea. I've never asked. let me find out now. Who's in the chair today? Is it Charlotte? Is Charlotte there? Charlotte, do you get annoyed when people call you a researcher on air? You do get annoyed. What do you prefer to be known as? Assistant producer. Okay. That's it now. You've ruined the show forever. Everyone's going to come
on
and say...
Sorry, my husband's a producer himself. As I was, probably
wise. Is he?
Yeah.
Is there some sort of solidarity going on here?
Exactly. No, he gets really annoyed when people get job titles wrong in this sort of industry. But
I think we should all... Well, every show is different. But, I mean, first of all, they don't do any research, as you can probably tell if you listen to the programme on a regular basis. And I'm not sure they produce much, but I think from now on, everyone should refer to my colleagues as the producer, as I just said, to your producer. Yeah?
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
There we go. As for Keith, he'll just continue to be Keith for the foreseeable future. So why does it come from, the origin of the smart as a verb for hurt?
Yeah.
As a synonym for hurt? I'll give you 50 quid if it's not German originally, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
It sounds German, doesn't it? Oh, this smurts. Don't you think?
Oh, okay. All
but
right,
we will find
maybe.
Out. Or Saxon. It'll be kind of, you know, Viking invasion, Northern European, or possibly German. We'll find out. It's on the list. I like it. Oh, that's smart. Thank you, Helen. And thank you to my wonderful producers. 20 minutes after 12 is the time. Will's in Leeds. Will, question or answer?
Hello.
Hello.
Question.
Carry on.
Lemonade.
Yeah.
Why do we have the aid bit at the end of lemonade.
You've put me in a slightly uncomfortable situation here, because I think that Helen was sort of implicitly criticising me for not being sufficiently respectful of my colleagues. Would you agree with that, Will? You heard the call while you were on hold.
I think you're wonderful, James.
Oh, top man, you can stay. So, unfortunately, I don't have my regular producer with me today, so I do need to remind everybody we only do one word-based question at a time. Otherwise, for some reason, the switchboard will heat up, light up. It will be overcome with questions about the origins of words or the etymology. So we've now got two right next to each other, Smarting and Lemonade. So no more word questions until at the very earliest we've dealt with both of these. Otherwise, it goes nuts. And now that we've got... So no more word questions. So why aid? Well, they've stuck aid on the end of lemon.
It comes from my son. It's
a great question.
Like, why is lemonade called lemonade? And why is cherryade called cherryade and limeade and so on and so forth? And so what's the aid bit come from?
Yeah, because it's not always fizzy, is it?
Mostly.
No, but it's not always. If you buy a fancy lemonade, it won't be fizzy.
But I don't buy fancy lemonade.
Well, I do. If you buy a fancy lemonade, you get used to it.
Why is it called lemonade?
I know. I understand the question. Limeade. I'm not stupid. There's no such thing as appleade, is there?
I know you're not.
Lemonade. Why aid? Where does the aid come from? Does your boy think that it denotes fizziness? Is that his...
He has no idea. He just throws it out and says, why is it called aid?
Yeah. It could refer to being... it could refer to having sugar added to it. I don't know. But the cloudy stuff is not fizzy.
No, there's just lemonade. Like lemonade.
I know. There's all sorts of different lemonades. That's what I'm pointing out.
We could go on all day about this, couldn't we?
They're not all fizzy. They used to be.
I'm so glad I've got through to you, because I've been trying for ages.
It's a great question. When I first moved to London, there was a place called the Dome Cafe. And they used to do something, well, called the citron pressé. Do you know what that was?
Lemonade.
Technically, I think it probably was lemonade.
Yeah, but citron, lemon.
Citron. I was just a lad from Kidderminster, right? And I was with a friend of mine.
I'm just a lad from Northampton.
You'll appreciate this. I was with a pal of mine who was very sophisticated. He was half Portuguese and half Greek. He was very cosmopolitan. He introduced me to an espresso coffee in the same coffee shop, actually, but on a different occasion. He ordered, as cool as you like, a citron pressé. And what they brought was half a glass of neat lemon juice, right? A little jug of water. And then a small jug, a much smaller jug, of sugar syrup. And you mixed your own lemonade like that. I thought that was the most sophisticated thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, very fancy.
Isn't it? You can't get it now for love or money. There's no domes left. I haven't seen a citron pressé since it went out. I used to sit in Covent Garden. I turn to my little dog, I say, "You're not in Kidderminster now, Toto." No, we used to sit. I just thought it was the smartest. I was very easily pleased in those days. Anyway, I don't know why it's called lemonade. I'll try and find out for you. What's your boy called?
Robert.
We shall try and find out for Robert, actually.
Thank you.
Most of. And when we find out, are you going to tell him that you've found out for yourself?
Or
are you
going to give... He will be absolutely over the moon.
Well, I'm going to say now, for the benefit of the podcast, which I hope you'll download, even if we don't get an answer to this question, I'm going to say, "Hello, Robert." And if your dad loves you, then one day he will buy you a fancy schmancy lemonade that is not fizzy, but is definitely cloudy. Marmalade. Oh, my God. Someone's just sent me marmalade. Not literally. Put it.
Well, that's different, isn't it?
Is it? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Surely.
Why?
Oh, I don't know.
Marmalade.
I don't know.
Oh, crikey, it's all happening now. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Robert. Take care. Jason's in Southampton. Jason, question or answer?
Answer for you, James. It's reference to tumble dryer.
Fantastic. Bring it on.
Okay, so if you think about it, the tumble dryer is an enclosed atmosphere.
You're correct.
And you're introducing heat to reduce the moisture content out of that atmosphere.
You are.
Cotton's a natural fabric which has a moisture content within it. So when you exceed the time limit that's either in the tumble dryer or the heat limit, you reduce the moisture from the cotton fibres and therefore you create shrinkage. Only in certain circumstances, though.
So he's tumble drying it for too long?
To everyone, to tell you what the experts say, you can tumble dry anything, but it's like a seesaw. Yeah. On one end you've got time, on one end you've got heat.
So he's either doing it too hot or too long, or possibly both.
Correct. Possibly both.
That's a brilliant answer. I love that answer, because I don't, my T-shirts don't shrink in the tumble dryer.
Well, the more expensive T-shirts, James, like yourself, will buy.
You're not wrong. Well, my T-shirts come from Balcony Shirts in Uxbridge, and he uses only the finest quality cloths and textiles.
And that's because the way the shirt will be made is the weave and the weft will be kept the same way.
It's all about the weft.
Okay.
I do. Qualifications?
Specialist laundry owner.
Oh, get in. Why? You'll get a round of applause in a minute. I have a bit of a quandary at the moment. First of all, I do have a tumble dryer based anecdote, but I'm not sure anyone's in the mood for that at the moment. But it costs almost as much to clean a duvet as it does to buy a new one, doesn't it?
Correct.
So unless you've got a really fancy duvet, you better, why is it so expensive to do a duvet? Because it takes so long.
It's all to do with the amount. I mean, James, you wouldn't want to know how much my gas bill's gone up.
No, but I really would. Well, I would, actually, as a hard-hitting journalist.
76,000 to 470,000 this year.
Shut the front door.
Yes. So, the simple process is, because a duvet soaks up so much moisture, it's in the dryers for so much longer, it takes so much energy.
Wow. The cat peed on ours. That's why we had to have it done.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's just the moisture content to get it out.
That's a superb answer, Jason. Do you want to give your specialist laundrette a shout, or is it too specialist for the sort of...
It's, everyone knows, so don't worry, it's fine.
All right, have a round of applause. Top man. There you go. So who was it that asked that question? It was... what? It was Charles, wasn't it? Yeah, so Jason has absolutely knocked it out of the park with that answer, and it makes perfect sense. So you're doing it for too long. My tumble dryer based anecdote is not that interesting, but the catch is broken on the door at the moment, so I've rigged up a broom handle resting on the back of a chair, applying just enough pressure. If you tip the chair back onto two legs and you balance the broom handle on the back of the chair and the latch of the door, I can just about get enough pressure applied to the tumble dryer door to keep it closed enough to activate and turn, but it's not completely closed because I can hear a sort of whistling noise, which is how I know that Jason was correct when he talked about that sealed atmosphere. That's why you tune in, isn't it, for that kind of content. That's so it's not many radio shows where you'd get a tumble dryer based anecdote. Oh no. Matthew's in Orpington. Matthew, question or answer?
Question, please.
I bet you haven't got a tumble dryer based anecdote, have you, pal?
No,
exactly. That's why they pay me the big bucks. Mate. What is your what is your question?
How do opticians know when a baby's eyesight is right and the baby can't talk?
Up to a point, they will do it because the eyes will follow something. I don't know why I sound so confident, don't I? I'm completely making this.
Yeah.
I just catch myself sometimes. The baby will follow something around the room, won't it? The eyes will follow your finger or something like. No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, James.
They
no.
will. No. You try it. Have you got a baby hand? Have you got a baby there?
No, right. I haven't.
Well, if you go find a baby and call me back. No, if you have a baby and you like hold a little toy in front of the baby's eyes and possibly its head will follow the toy around like a cat, mate.
That's not saying it.
Like a cat. A cat can't talk, but you'd know if your cat couldn't see, wouldn't you?
Oh, I think you got to put this one out there, James.
Get a cat. Get a cat, get a ball of wool, dangle the ball of wool in front of the cat, and it will... So you don't know how good or bad a baby's sight is. You're not going to be able to... I'll find out. I'll just ask an optician, actually. Yeah?
All right, thank you.
All right, thank
much.
You. Cheers. Sorry about that.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
I've never actually spluttered live, have I? Because occasionally you'll send me a little message... Or something will pop up on my screen and it just gets me like it would if I wasn't on the radio. And I could, because I'm always drinking tea out of my enormous mug, I could theoretically, if I glance at something, I could, but I don't think I splutter. I don't think I drink and look at the same time because that's why my mug is so huge. So because my mug is so enormous, when I drink out of it, I can't see anything, which is why I've avoided spluttering. Because if I was drinking out of a small mug and I read Anthony's text there, which says, James, regarding the tumble dryer, why are you living like this? If I'd read that when I actually had a mouthful of tea, I think I would have spluttered it all over the microphone. It only broke over Christmas. I'm supposed to have fixed it. I haven't got around to it yet. And I may not be able to. Anyway, I digress. But keep them coming. And speaking of things that make me laugh out loud, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but if you do, at Mr. James OB, the one, two, third or fourth, no, fifth, sixth. God, I tweet a lot, don't I? About the eighth tweet down, it's a retweet of the line on it says, genuine tears at this. Laurel and Hardy themselves couldn't craft a better gag. I've retweeted an account called Puds that I hadn't come across before. I don't know where the footage came from originally, but watch it to the end. And if that doesn't make you laugh out loud, wherever you are, if that doesn't make you laugh out loud, then there's something wrong with you. Let's get on with the show. Mansingh is in Tottenham. Mansingh, question or answer?
I have a question, James.
Carry on.
You're bugging me for a while.
Go on, then.
I want to know, why isn't there a clock on London Underground tubes, but you have clocks on the overground, on the National Rail, on the buses, but not on the underground?
What sort of clocks?
On the carriages. Basically, any time display on the carriages. So when you're on a carriage, on a tube, there's no time display.
Are you sure they've got them on the above overgrounds?
They have them on the overgrounds. They have them on the buses.
I know they have them on the buses.
They have them on the buses. Yeah, they have them on the overgrounds.
Why don't they have... Well, where would they put them?
Well, I don't know. Maybe fix a display. I don't know, put a display.
Yeah, but there isn't a display. So I think this is probably because the stock is old.
But on the new trains, there isn't any either.
Yeah, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it, Mansingh.
If what ain't broke?
They've never had it.
Okay, but what if I need to know the time? I haven't got a watch, I haven't got a phone, and I need to know the time, and I get stuck in a tunnel on the London Underground.
That's not really a Mystery Hour qualified question, mate. So what do I do if I'm stuck underground? I mean, you ask someone, don't you? So, excuse me, mate, have you got the time?
All right, okay, so what if it's...
What if I'm stuck in a tunnel underground and there's no one else in the carriage and I need to know what time? Well, buy a bloody watch, man.
Oh, yeah, but I don't wear watches. I'm one of the few that don't wear watches.
Well, that's your lookout, isn't it? If you need to know the time, you'll buy a watch. You'll change your fashion-based... Is there a reason? Is there a genuine reason why there's no clocks on tube trains?
Yeah, I just want to know if there's a genuine reason. Yeah.
I do too now. I've never really clocked that before. That wasn't even on purpose.
I've explored everything in my head and cannot come up with a conclusion. Why not?
Because it's digital, maybe. All right, we'll find out. Why are there no clocks on tubes? Thank you, Mansingh. And John's in Jeffheim. That's weird, that. I know a bloke called Jeff who lives in Jonheim. John, question or answer? Question or answer?
I have to answer.
Carry on.
Although I realise now I'm here as I'm having a bit of an imposter syndrome.
Because, oh no!
I'm just outside Oslo in Norway.
Yes.
And the word for pain in Norwegian is smerte, or smerte.
There it is. Yes.
And I thought I better be sure.
Right.
Because I'm a bit of an idiot, to be honest.
You and me both.
I didn't want to go on, you know, the world's best radio show and make a an idiot of myself. So I looked it up, and it's actually, you were quite right initially. It's from the Proto-Germanic, smerte, and also the Middle Dutch that comes up as smerten.
And it just means hurt.
The origin.
So the Vikings brought it over.
I would imagine so. They brought over, I was amazed to learn how many English words are from the Scandinavian countries. Yeah. So window is over here is vindu.
Okay.
Loads and a lot of
that.
Swear words.
You know, you're not supposed to look anything up, but I don't think this is.
No, because
you did start. No, I mean, I'm going to give you a break on this. No, because I did forget to mention that at the top of the show, actually. That is a rule. That is the only rule of Mystery Hour, is that you're not allowed to look things up. But you were merely clarifying. I mean, you're not really supposed to do that either. I don't want to...
So what you're saying is I had one rule.
Yeah, and one rule.
Oh, no. I mean, literally
one rule. But it's not your fault, because I forgot to mention it, which is the story of my life. So we're in great company, and you definitely get a round of applause.
Thank you so much. But I'm
mentioning that you're not supposed to do that, otherwise I'll get a barrage of complaints and pedantic points being made. Thank you. Lovely stuff. Thank you, John. I nearly called him Jeff. It is 12:39, and Pam's in Scunthorpe. Pam, question or answer?
I want to know why you can go into a supermarket and buy chicken eggs or duck eggs, but you can't buy turkey eggs. Why can't you buy turkey eggs when there's millions of turkeys in the country?
Well, I do know the answer to this, actually.
Oh, good.
But only because we got asked it about a month ago, just before Christmas. Oh, but I mentioned that I don't have the regular producer working with me today, so there's no reason why that should have been spotted. There are, however, two members of staff on duty today who were here when we did the turkey egg question. So, Keith, what have you got to say for yourself? You'll be lucky. I mean, the short answer, Pam, is no one wants them. The slightly longer answer is that all turkeys' eggs are hatched.
All of them?
Yeah, well, pretty much all of them. I mean, because the market is such that they want loads of turkeys in the right place at the right time, i.e. Christmas.
Yeah.
So it is that. Yeah. I mean, it's not. It's you know, you can't really buy goose eggs either, can you? Much.
No, you can't. I agree.
So if they are domesticated or farmed is the word I'm looking for. If they are farmed, then in the case of turkeys, they're farmed for the meat. They're farmed for the bird. They're just not farmed for the eggs.
Well, right. I just wondered. That was all. It was puzzling me. Now I know the answer. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that's the answer. And the qualifications are. That I think we did it about a month ago. Thank you. I mean, be honest with me, Pam. You've never been wandering around Morrison's, have you? Thinking, oh, do you know what I fancy for my tea? I fancy a nice turkey egg.
No, I wish I could wander around Morrison's and look what they have. I've lost my middle vision, so I can't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. But even then, when you're perusing your grocery shopping online, you've never felt to yourself, I really fancy a turkey egg.
Yeah, well, I understand turkey eggs are about three times the size of a hen egg. So yeah. I thought, well, they'd make a blooming good omelette, wouldn't they?
Not necessarily. I don't know why. I've just got a feeling they might be a bit gloopy.
Well, maybe I don't know.
We digress. I'm going to give my. I'll share my round of applause with you, Pam, because I'm feeling generous. There you go.
Okay, thank you. Bye, Jane.
Bye bye. 12:41 is the time. Cheryl's in Fraserburgh. Cheryl, question or answer?
Hi, answer please regarding horse and cow shoes.
Carry on.
Right, horses don't all have shoes on, even those that work. Generally these days it's only those that need shoes because they're doing a lot of work. They're working in lots of sand, which is abrasive on the hoof. Cows can actually be used. It's what you could refer to as oxen.
Yes.
And I have a few. I also have cows. You can actually get blocks that go onto the cow's toes, but the cows walk on two toes, whereas horses walk on one. So if you did happen to want to ride your cows, which bizarrely a few people actually do, you'd have to have two shoes on it, not one shoe.
Two shoes. Oxen shoes, they're called.
Oxen.
And it goes back hundreds of years, because an ox would previously have been used a lot more as a beast of burden than they are now, as we know, because your ox would do your ploughing and stuff like that, wouldn't it?
Yes,
and they did have shoes. So the first bit of your answer intrigued me. So most horses are not shoed these days, unless they're going on the road or doing some work.
If they do a lot of work, because you've also got the extra added weight of a rider, as well as...
Oh, so if they're ridden a lot, then they would need shoes, wherever they're being ridden.
Depends on the horse, but the breed of the horse and all sorts of things, and the quality of the feet.
Yes.
I've rehabilitated quite a few horses.
Have you?
Who needed shoes years ago, and then with better nutrition and care, didn't need shoes later in life. And,
oh, what a lovely job.
It was fantastic.
I think we're nudging towards the answer to my next question here. What are your qualifications, Cheryl?
Oh, 40-something years of keeping horses and also being a farmer with cows.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Round of applause for Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 12:43 is the time. And Andrew's in Brittany in France. Andrew, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, mate.
I want to know, being as the planet, the Earth, is billions of years old, why hasn't it cooled down? I mean, why are we still getting volcanoes going off all over the place and geysers going off? You know, we're not nuclear like the sun. You can understand why the sun's so hot because of, you know, nuclear energy. But the Earth is just a rock. So are we? Is the planet cooling down, or are we going to stay the same temperature? I don't know. I mean,
well, it must be cooling down a bit. Well, it can't be. The planet itself, the planet, like inside the planet, is that cooling down?
Yeah,
I think we're thinking about it in human terms, mate, rather than geological terms or millennial terms. I would say, and I have no knowledge whatsoever, that it is cooling down, but it's so enormous and so hot to start with that there's still loads of lava and magma and stuff in the middle of the Earth. Science, that is, right, Andrew. I mean, because you're thinking of it, you're thinking of it like a pie that you've just taken out of the oven, aren't you?
No, not really.
Yeah, you are. Don't lie. That's exactly what you're doing. And it's not a... I mean, first of all, there's no oven, so it should... And it is out, so it should be cooling down. I bet it is. What time is it? 45? Someone will know.
Yeah.
But I would put a few quid on...
Is it a thermal question? Is the Earth so insulated
yes.
that it just keeps... Like a thermal flask.
Exactly.
It just keeps it hot all the time.
Yeah, or a McDonald's apple pie.
But thermal flask, eventually, they do cool, don't they?
Yeah, eventually, but over a very long period of time. In this case, you know, billions of years. It's a McDonald's apple pie, isn't it? That's the kind of pie we're talking about. Somewhere where the innards are hotter than the core of the Earth. It's absolutely good. So anyway, hopefully...
People's heat pumps are not going to fail anytime soon.
No, you're all right for the foreseeable on that one, Andrew, I think. But let's see if we can get a slightly more expert answer. Thank you, mate.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
How do opticians test babies' eyes? 03456060973. Where does the aid come from in lemonade? We've done the shirt. Does the gravitational pull of the moon have any effect on humans? Why do colours turn into names? Some colours become names but not others. We've done that. Why are there no clocks on the London Underground? These all still need answers. 03456060973 is the number you need. Peter is in Wallingford. Peter, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
Well, it's to do with the ending of the word aid, as in lemonade.
Yes.
It actually comes from the Spanish ending of a word, ada, which comes from Latin, A-T-A, atta. All
yes.
it does is that it converts a verb into a noun. So if you were a soldier fighting for the cross, you were a crusader.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a building with an arch, it is an arcade. If you're part of a community, you're a comrade.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you have a drink that is being made from a fruit, it is lemonade, orangeade, and so on. And when it's spelled AID in a drink, that's normally when a copyright has already used the ending ADE. And so to be allowed to sell the new name, they cheat and they get an AID.
Call it like Kool-Aid.
Absolutely, you got it.
I like that a lot. So, and in fact, I think... It's still limonata, isn't it, in Italian? So
It is. That's the ATA. And similarly in Spain, it's the ADE, yes.
Blockade. Blockade would be a good example.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because block is a verb.
If you are blocking,
yeah,
it is a blockade. So it converts a verb to a noun.
Blockade. Fantastic. I hope Robert is happy with that answer. What are your qualifications, Peter?
I'm an expert etymologist, so I've written a whole series of books on the origins of words and phrases. It's called Well, I Never Knew That.
Fantastic.
Because when you hear the answers, people say, well, I never knew that.
Yeah, I can't believe you've never... Have you phoned in before?
Not on this topic, no.
No. Well, I never knew that. That's lovely. No, there you go. And that is, I mean, that is part. I shall look that out because we love stuff like that. And here is a round of applause, worth more than a Booker Prize. 12:51 is the time. Thank you, Peter. Professor Hal is here.
Hello, James.
Hello, Hal. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. I'm going to guess what question you are here to answer.
Okay, guess away.
I'm about to. You are here to answer the question about the temperature of the Earth.
Yes, it's a delightful question.
It is nice, isn't it? Go on.
It is delightful. And if you want a really, really nice rendition of the answer, read Bill Bryson's A Short History of Almost Anything.
Okay.
Because someone whose name escapes me decided, shouldn't the Earth have cooled down by now? Because it's 4.6 billion years old. And the answer is yes, it absolutely should have cooled down by now. But. And the reason it hasn't is that in the mantle, there's an awful lot of radioactive isotopes which are decaying and thereby producing heat. Lots of uranium-238, decaying into thorium and so on and so forth. Mm. And it's that heat that keeps the Earth hot. And incidentally, a delightful little sort of side thing, one of the byproducts of that is alpha particles, which are helium nuclei. So all the helium we get for those heart-shaped balloons. Valentine's balloons that I'm sure Mrs. O'Brien buys you every single year.
Yeah, loads.
That doesn't come from fractional distillation of air. That comes from helium mines. Helium's actually mined because when it escapes into the atmosphere, it actually, it's so fast, it radiates out into space. You can't get it from air.
Well, you live and learn. I did not know that. I didn't know any of that, actually. So, in a sentence, the answer is that there's a sort of hot insulating layer around.
Well, it's not so much insulating, it's still creating its own heat. One day, of course, everything will have decayed.
It's still creating its own heat.
Yeah,
yes.
And we'll have as we all know.
So, it's still burning and there's still new stuff catching fire.
Yeah, not so much fire, because it's a nuclear reaction.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to make it easy for Keith to understand.
Okay.
Burning.
Eventually, it'll run out, and that's the heat death of the universe. The universe will
die.
What
do you reckon, 5 billion?
No, at 5 billion, the sun's going to start using helium and become a red giant, so that'll overtake us. So.
But, I mean, to put it simply, our man Andrew's heat pump is all right for the foreseeable future.
Yes, the Earth is creating its own heat for the time being.
Qualifications?
I'm very, very fortunate. I'm Professor of Public Understanding of Science at the University of Brighton.
Are you a bit under the weather at the moment, Professor?
I am, actually. I'm just shaking off that terrible flu virus that was going around.
I can tell. Well, you look after yourself. I would recommend some lemon-based liquids just to tie together with the previous question.
Okay, what a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Professor Hal, round of applause. Thank you. Dan's in Paris, France. I said France. You wrote it on the screen. Where is it? Well, I suppose it could be Paris, Texas. Question or answer, Dan?
Hey, there is a Paris, Ontario, and a Paris, Texas.
There you go.
So it's
there
right.
You go. There you go.
Question, please.
Gosh, you're pushing your luck. It's 12:55, but maybe I'll be able to answer it. Go on.
No, you're going to answer this. It's easy. Redheads, or as you guys call it, gingers.
Yeah.
Is it exclusively to Caucasians, or are there people from Asia, Africa, or the Middle East that could also be born ginger?
I'm pretty sure that I've seen ginger hair in cases of albinism. It's not albinism, is it? I don't know what the qualifications are without photographs, but can people with darker skin have ginger hair, is what you're asking?
I've been to Asia a few times and I've never seen somebody of Asian origin with red hair, or African for that matter.
Not naturally. Okay, well, hopefully someone will be able to ring in time, because I'm pretty sure that you can, but I've got no way of proving it to you. Except my Swiss cheese of a memory, thinking, I'm sure I've seen something somewhere along those lines. But we shall find out. Do you have to be white to have ginger hair? 03456060973 is the number you need. Rick's in Surbiton. Thank you, Dan. Rick's in Surbiton. Rick, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
So it's a question related to, do we have a tide?
Yes.
And the short answer is yes. So Newton's law of gravitation, it says that every object is attracted to every other object, but it all depends on the mass of the objects and the distance. So because the Earth is so huge compared to us, we are attracted, it dominates our sort of, you know, I would say our internal organs are attracted to the Earth and not the Moon, because the Moon is, compared to the Earth, smaller in size than Mars.
So the factors are minuscule, but the principle stands.
Yes.
Qualifications?
Yes. I'm a nerd.
Yeah, but I mean, beyond that, what is it? What element of your nerdiness? Because you could be out doing all sorts of things by consequence of being a nerd.
Yeah, they teach you that in physics, A level.
Okay, that's all right, A level.
Yeah.
Round of applause for Rick. Lots of people saying you don't have to be white to have ginger hair, but I mean, did we just take that as a given? I don't know. George is in Wembley. George, question or answer?
Is the answer to the question whether the eggs from turkeys, why they are not mass-produced and sold? Well, there are two factors. One is that the taste of these eggs is so awful that I don't think anybody would want to buy them.
Have you had a turkey egg?
Preferably to the chicken eggs.
Have you eaten one?
I tasted it. I used to work on a farm. Yeah. There's too much fat in it.
Yeah.
And they, on the other hand, economically, turkeys don't produce as many eggs as the chicken do.
So there's a commercial reason, but also a culinary reason as well. What does it taste like?
It tastes awful. That's why I could tell.
No, I know it tastes awful, but what does it taste like? Does it remind you of anything else?
As if you are eating fat on its own.
Gross.
Exactly.
So,
do you want a bucket? Yes.
No. Qualifications? Turkey farmer.
No, I used to work on a turkey farm.
Yeah, therefore you were a turkey farmer when you worked on a turkey farm.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be your farm, or were you a turkey farm hand?
Yes, I was working there for a couple of years.
Well done. Do you miss it?
Not really.
A round of applause for George.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you. That's it, I think, for today. Hang on. My favourite is, I'm going to give it to Will and Robert for the lemonade question, because it did. I mean, just because they were nice and it allowed me to fondly remember the days when this little lad from Kidderminster discovered the sophistication of a citron pressé in a Covent Garden cafe, and I thought that I had arrived in a new world of opportunity and sophistication. That's it from me for today. I haven't got the spiel in front of me about... Here it is. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, where you'll also find all of LBC's shows to catch up on, as well as staying up to date with all the latest news from LBC. So do download Global Player for free from your App Store or head to globalplayer.com.